My dad's a graphic designer.
He is?
Yes. He'd love it if I took that class instead.
Instead of what?
Instead of starring in a movie. Donovan's brow crinkled.
Really?
I shrugged. It's no big deal. I turned a circle and changed the subject. So this is your world? What articles do you write for the paper? Is that what you call it? Because it felt right.
No.
You should start calling it that. Any school who still has a physical paper printed from a printing press has to call it a paper.
Isn't that a British nickname for paper?
Is it? You need to research that. I bet you could write a whole article about it.
I bet I couldn't.
Because you write the... I squinted my eyes and studied him. Current events section?
No.
What then? The bell rang, and suddenly the halls were full of students. Donovan lifted up his arms as if that would make the crowded hallway easier to navigate, and then headed back toward the first classroom we'd been in. I followed closely behind him, hanging on to the back of his shirt. We made it into the room, and he went to a far station and picked up his backpack. I waved to the teacher. Thanks for letting me borrow your prize writer. He did a good job selling the journalism department to me. The teacher waved in return.
You're welcome.
I waited for Donovan, and we exited the class together. He didn't say a word until we were outside. Then he said,
Well, I better...
You're not going to say you better get to class, right? You have to finish my tour.
That was pretty much the whole department.
I want to see it all, baby. The whole campus.
I'll be late to class.
I gave an exaggerated eye roll. Please. You are a hard-hitting journalist. You don't care about rules. You sneak into abandoned buildings and bust drug dealers.
Or run away from them, he said.
Besides, Taylor in the front office gave me permission to have you as my tour guide. I held up my visitor's badge. I'm an official guest here. Now, show me your favorite place.
I don't really have a favorite place. And if I did, it would probably be the room we just left.
Okay, then show me what my favorite place would be if I went here. I thought he was going to say no, but he stood there for a moment, looking at me. I wondered if he was still trying to process my face without makeup. Then he said,
Okay.
He turned in the opposite direction from where we had been headed, and I took several quick steps to catch up. I wondered which building housed the theater department. That's where he was going to take me, I was sure of it. He marched me inside the largest building and, sure enough, at the end of the hall were two sets of double doors. Above the doors were the words, Edwards Theater. As predictable as this choice was, I was actually excited to go stand on a big stage. It had been a while. But instead of heading for those double doors, he peeled off to the right and up a set of stairs, and then another. We climbed four flights without exchanging a word until we got to a single door at the top. That was my cardio for the day, I said. He took a card out of his pocket, waved it in front of a black square on the door, and when it lit green, he opened it. Okay, who are you and where are you taking me?
This is the student gardens.
I stepped through the door and onto the rooftop. Bordering the entire edge of the roof were pot after colorful pot of plants. In the center were several groupings of lounge-like areas with couches and coffee tables and more plants. Several students sat around reading or doing homework. The view over the campus from up here was incredible. I waved my hand at Donovan's pocket, where he'd stored the key to the door. Why? What?
You have to earn access.
How?
Grades and a teacher recommendation and extracurriculars and seniors only.
Wow. This is amazing. I slowly walked around, taking in the different plants, and what I now saw was art displayed around as well.
But this wouldn't be my favorite place if I went here.
No? He asked,
surprised he had guessed wrong. No, because I wouldn't be allowed in here.
Drama counts.
I barely maintained a 3.0.
It's not only 4.0 people up here, though probably most are.
I walked to the far end of the roof, where a group of chairs sat empty, and I collapsed into one. He was absolutely right. I loved it up here, and I'd been here less than 5 minutes.
I'm sure you'd figure out a way to score a key to this place if you went here. Didn't we already establish that you get what you want?
Did we? Because I thought we established that you aren't doing my homework for me.
You don't want that.
I do. I really do.
He lifted a corner of his mouth into a half smile. Yes, that was very satisfying to have earned.
How did you know? I asked.
How did I know what?
That I'd like this.
He took in the rooftop, his eyes scanning slowly over the path we just walked. He opened his mouth like he was going to say something, but stopped. Then he shrugged one shoulder and said,
"Who wouldn't like this?"
I looked up at the clear blue sky and let out a sigh.
I've decided I do miss it a little.
What?
High school.
Why?
He asked, as though he didn't understand that thought.
Mainly because it's senior year, and I've missed things like this.
I gestured around us.
You had a student garden at your high school?
I sat up and met his eyes. No, but there are certain perks that come from seniorhood, and I'm missing them. I fell back in the seat again. My dad would probably have gloated if he heard me repeat this realization. But then, I remember what I actually get to do right now, and know it's all worth it. Donovan nodded, then his attention was drawn to the door, where a group of students came in and sat on the other side of the roof.
So you still haven't answered my question about what you write for the Pape, I said.
Stop using that word.
But it's bugging you so much. I can't stop now.
I write.
He toed at the edge of a blue and green striped rug that sat under the coffee table.
Entertainment.
Entertainment? Like book reviews and such?
Yes. And plays, and television, and movies.
With that last word, he looked back at me.
Oh, so you'll be reviewing Dancing Graves for the paper when it comes out?
Not necessarily. We vote on which movies we're going to see, and which will make the section.
And my movie won't be good enough for the section?
I already knew he thought it was second rate.
I'll vote for it.
You better.
I twisted a bracelet I wore around my wrist.
Do you review your school plays or just professional theater?
School ones, too.
I want to read something you've written.
He was back to picking at his palm again before he said,
You probably already have.
What? No, I haven't.
One of my reviews went viral.
I thought your school only has a physical paper.
I have a personal review site online as well.
Oh.
I slowly started piecing a few clues together. I gasped.
Wait. Grant James goes down in flames? Was that you?
He bit his lip and shrugged.
I stand by it.
You're not a Grant James fan.
He has enough fans without me.
You'd be surprised at how much the review bothered him.
He's read it?
Of course. It's all over social media.
I wasn't the only one who reviewed it badly. There were a lot of big-time reviewers who did as well.
I know, but yours got passed around more. It was witty and clever and funny and very, very shareable. He ran his hand over his hair a few times.
Thanks.
I was right. Reading something he had written did give me more insight into who he was. It wasn't that I didn't think he was witty or clever or funny. I'd seen bits of all of those things. But how much they popped on page surprised me. In real life, he seemed more reserved. Maybe he was just private. Pretty much the exact opposite of me. So is that why you didn't want to meet Grant? Because of the review?
No, because I'm not a fan.
I chuckled. Yeah, right. If I had written that review, I wouldn't have wanted to face him either.
I'll face him.
If I were talking to anyone else, I might not think that were true. But this was my tutor. This was the guy who was on the set of Grant James's movie all the time. He probably would have to face him. I wondered how that would go down. So is that what you want to do with your life? Become a professional reviewer?
Yes, actually.
Wait, I said, a realization coming to me. Is this why you don't date actresses? So you don't have to worry about trashing their performances? He laughed, but then the smile slid from his face.
Pretty much. I like to stay objective.
I'll do you a favor and warn all my co-stars away from you.
No need. I've never been tempted.
Ouch. Well, the feeling was mutual. I wasn't tempted at all. Dancing Graves. Interior. Abandoned church. Night. Scarlett's appearance has changed. She looks more zombie than human now, even though her logic hasn't left her. Benjamin brings supplies to the church, fearful that any day he'll find her mind fully changed. She hides in the shadows when he arrives. Benjamin.
Scarlett, are you here? It's me.
Scarlett. I can't stay here much longer. What if the other hunters find me? Look at what I have become. They won't spare me. Benjamin.
You must come home. We can protect you there.
Scarlett.
But who will protect you from me?
13. As soon as I was back in my car in the parking lot, I picked up the phone and called my mom. Hello, Lace, she answered. How are you? Between the fight with my dad, being back at high school again, and discovering my tutor was a critic who might one day trash my movie, I was feeling very low. I'm okay. Thanks for sending Abby and Cooper over the other day. That was so nice. I got to run some much-needed errands. I'm glad it worked out. I had forgotten I'd asked Abby to do that. I had the best friends ever. So I have the rest of the day and tomorrow off. I was thinking about driving up to see you and the littles tonight. It was only noon. I'd be there by 4 and could have 24 hours with my family. It sounded like exactly what I needed. My mom. Yes, you should come. Okay, I will. See you in a little bit. I sent my dad a text and didn't wait for an answer. I didn't need permission to see my mom. The fact that I didn't go home to pack had nothing to do with not believing that. I was so excited that the 4 hours it took to drive home felt like 400 hours. The Central Coast was cooler than LA. And as I finally reached my neighborhood, I rolled down the windows and took a breath of fresh coastal air. I was surprised at the lump rising in my throat as I parked the car and hopped out. My mom was waiting for me on the porch, and she came running down the walk when I stepped out of the car. She looked as beautiful as ever with her dark hair and even darker eyes, We collided into a hug. I held on longer than normal. I've missed you, she said.
You too.
I stepped back and moved toward the door.
Didn't you bring anything? She asked, gesturing toward the car.
I cleared my throat and waved my hand through the air like it wasn't a big deal.
No, I left a lot of my stuff here because it doesn't fit at Dad's.
I know, it's just... I was worried my dad had called and tattled on me, so I rushed on, not wanting another fight.
Where are Colby and Sid? I'm dying to see them.
They've made you a special treat.
Oh, yeah?
Try to choke down a little, at least. We'll throw the rest away when they aren't looking.
I'm scared, I said.
You should be.
The house felt the same but different when I walked inside. The same paintings hung on the wall. The same bench and kids' shoes scattered the entryway. But it felt bigger. Much bigger than I remembered. I assumed this was the result of a month in a small apartment. My mom kicked a stuffed animal out of the way and said,
"Guess who's home?"
My brother and sister came tearing out of whatever corner they'd been hiding in, and each grabbed an arm.
"Lace! Lace!" they yelled.
"Hi, guys. I missed you. Have you each grown a foot since I was gone?"
This was why adults said this. I now understood.
"We made you a salad," Sydney said.
"A salad?"
I raised an eyebrow at my mom.
"I told them you'd given up sweets for a couple of months."
"How thoughtful," I said.
They dragged me into the kitchen where a bowl full of what looked like everything they could find in the fridge sat on the counter.
"Am I going to get salmonella if I eat this?"
I asked my mom under my breath.
"I think it's mostly fresh," she answered back.
So comforting.
"I'll put the ranch on it for you," Sydney said, retrieving it from the fridge.
As she poured it on my salad, coating each and every item in the bowl, Colby said,
"We got a cat. It lives in your room."
"Colby," my mom said sharply. That was going to be a surprise. My head whipped over to my mom.
"What?"
I know, you're not a fan of animals. But you weren't here, and it's good for the kids to learn responsibility, and it's really cute."
"So you got a kitten?"
"It's not a kitten," Mom said. "It's a rescue cat."
My sister pushed the salad across the island to where I stood. My stomach flipped. I wasn't sure if it was from the smell of ranch that now overpowered me, or the thought of a cat living in my room.
"Does it sleep on my bed?" I asked.
"We put a cat bed in the corner," Mom said, which didn't answer my question.
She pulled a fork out of the drawer and handed it to me.
"Eat up."
3 very ranchy bites later, I crept my way down the hall. So what? A cat lived in my room. It couldn't be that bad. People liked cats for a reason. It couldn't be their constant shedding or sharp skin-piercing claws. So something else. I opened the door, and the smell hit me first. Some sort of urine mixed with Lysol. People absolutely couldn't like animals for their smell.
"I haven't had a chance to clean the litter box in a couple of days. It's Sid's job, but I usually double-check," Mom said, following behind me.
"But I did vacuum when you called. Pepper hates the vacuum."
"Who?"
"The cat."
"The cat's name is Pepper?"
"Yes. She came with that name."
"Come here, kitty kitty," Mom said, walking around me and into the room.
"She takes a while to warm up to a new person. Also, she likes to jump out at legs when you walk by."
My mom continued to talk, but I was busy looking at my room that wasn't my room anymore. It was a cat haven. There was some sort of tower in the corner. A rope was tied around each of the legs of my bed, creating scratching posts. A plastic mat with a litter box on top was tucked beside my dresser. And cat toys were scattered all over my bed. In my closet,
my beautiful closet. All my clothes and shoes were gone, replaced by stacks of boxes. I couldn't decide if I was more angry or sad. My mom must have noticed my gaze because she said, "Pepper was batting at your hanging clothes, and she peed on a pair of shoes, so I decided to pack away everything in your closet." "Why do people like animals again?" I mumbled. She bit her lip. "I'm sorry. We were just getting the cat used to the house. She has trust issues, and they said it would be good to keep her in one room for a while and slowly introduce her to the rest of the house. And your room, seeing as how it was empty, seemed like the best option. She doesn't really like people."
"You adopted a cat that doesn't like people?"
"She has the potential to like people. She wasn't treated very well in her last house." "Are you mad?"
"You're mad." My mom looked so stressed, and my siblings had seemed genuinely excited about this. So I said,
"No, of course not. I'm only here for one night." "Thank you, honey. I promise by the time you get back, your room will be cat-free."
"Sounds good." I pointed to the boxes in the closet.
"Do you remember which one might hold my sweats and teas?"
She gave me her sad eyes again.
"I have no idea. You'll just have to go through all of them."
"Okay, I will." I went to the closet and pulled down the first box. My mom left the room and closed the door behind her, presumably so the cat wouldn't get out.
"Is now the time you're going to jump on me?" I asked the air around me.
The cat didn't respond. I snapped a pic of the litter box in the corner and sent it in a text to Amanda with the words,
"I've been replaced by a cat."
"Your dad got a cat? Maybe it will divert some of his attention."
I smiled.
"I wish. No, my mom got a cat."
"She needs to play the card game with you so she knows the important details about your personality."
"Right? What are you doing with your day off?"
"I've escaped my trailer and am going to crash at a friend's place. Have fun."
I sat down and opened the first box from my closet. It was everything that had been on my dresser and taped onto my mirror, mainly pictures and jewelry. My mom hadn't mentioned packing away the top of my dresser, but when I looked over there now, sure enough, it was bare, except for a weird-looking ball. The cat must have gotten into my things up there as well. It was fine. This was fine. I turned my attention back to the pics and flipped through them. Most were from a musical I had directed over the summer, The Music Man. I had been a good director. I encouraged the actors and gave positive feedback, at least most of the time. I dropped the pics in the box. No, I wasn't going to let myself obsess on my day off. I needed a distraction. 14. After digging through 5 boxes to find clothes, reading my brother and sister a book before bed, and filling my mom in on the exciting world of movie making, I asked,
"Do you mind if I hang out with some friends tomorrow, Mom?"
My mom sat next to me on the couch with a big glass of ice water.
"No, of course not. You should."
"Thank you." The clock on the wall said it was close to 10.
"Where is Bill? I thought he'd be home by now."
"It's that case I was telling you about. It keeps him late almost every night."
"Tell him I said hi, then. I'm going to bed."
She squeezed my arm.
"I will. I'm glad to have you home, Lace."
"I'm happy to be home."
The cat hadn't shown her face the whole time I'd been in my room.
Her room?
Earlier. Mom had said she hid under the bed a lot. "Don't jump out at me," I said, as I walked in the room this time. It didn't smell anymore because my sister had cleaned the litter. "We'll just have a mutual understanding. Yes? You leave me alone, I leave you alone. It will be for the best.
I tiptoed to my bed, then hopped into it quickly. It didn't take long for me to fall asleep.
It had been a while since I'd been to a milkshake or burger place,
but Abby had suggested the place in town that served both in equal quantities. Abby jumped up and gave me a hug.
I'm so happy you're here. Just for a couple more hours.
Cooper offered a wave and a smile. I didn't know Cooper as well as Abby. I'd gotten to know her mainly in the time where she was trying to get over him, because she loved him fiercely, and he didn't know he loved her back yet. He'd obviously come to his senses. He was cute. His look screamed surfer boy. Blonde hair, tan, athletic build. Do you surf, Cooper? Was the first thing I asked when I joined them at the table.
No, I do not.
Huh. I sat down and put on my smile. Hi. What's with the surfing question? Abby asked. She had her hand in Cooper's, and their chairs were close. He just looks like a surfer boy, don't you think?
Is that an insult?
Cooper asked.
It felt like an insult.
I laughed. Do you have a problem with surfers?
No, but it feels like you do.
It does? I don't. Surfers are cute. She thinks you're cute, babe, Abby said. I do, I said. Cooper winked at Abby.
Are you going to let her flirt with me like this?
I will defend you with my life if I need to, Abby said. But not until after I have a milkshake. I picked up a plastic-covered menu from the table.
No lives need to be sacrificed. I was just pointing out beauty. I also think Abby is cute, and I'm not trying to steal her either.
Speaking of beauty, Abby said, how is Grant James?
You find Grant James attractive?
Cooper asked Abby. You don't? She said back, as though this was the most shocking thing he'd ever said. He shrugged his shoulders.
I've seen hotter.
As they proceeded to get into a debate about Grant James, I realized the last time I talked about Grant was with Donovan. That conversation came back to me. His admitting he'd been the writer of the viral review. The review that was messing with Grant's head and, in turn, messing with our chemistry on camera. Even if Grant didn't think it was him too, Amanda thought it was, and so did I. For the record, I said out loud. Maybe too loud. I liked his last movie. I thought he was great. He's a good actor. They both paused in their discussion and looked at me, confusion on their faces.
We didn't say he wasn't, Abby said.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about. Abby tilted her head.
No, we were being much more shallow. Are you okay? Is everything okay?
It's fine. Apparently I was letting Donovan get in my head now.
Has the infamous kissing scene happened yet?
Abby wiggled her eyebrows. Soon. I remembered when I first read in the script that I had to kiss Grant James. I thought it would be fun. Now it sounded like a test I wasn't prepared for. Something I needed to study for. Something I'd been studying for. Well, except in the way Amanda had suggested, by finding someone in my real life to have real feelings for. I wondered if I kissed someone for real, someone I wanted to kiss, if that would help. No, I shook my head. I didn't need to do that. I was an actress. I just have to become Scarlett, I said.
Who's Scarlett?
Cooper asked. My character. I need to channel her, and it will be fine.
Order number 72,
the worker behind the counter said, and Abby jumped up.
Oh, you already ordered. I better go place my order, or you'll be staring at me while I eat, I said.
I ordered grilled chicken and a water, even though the guy behind the counter looked at me funny. Then I sat back down. Cooper's fries looked so good, I almost stole one. But I kept my hands to myself. So talk to me, Abby said. You seem stressed about things.
Normally, when you talk about a project, you're overflowing with excitement.
Overflowing? Really?
Is it that chemistry thing you mentioned?
I hate chemistry,
Cooper said. Abby laughed. The other kind of chemistry.
Oh, I take back my statement then.
Cooper squeezed Abby's hand, and she made the slightest movement toward him, their shoulders brushing. Speaking of chemistry, they'd had more in the last 10 minutes than I'd had with Grant in 2 weeks.
Is there someone else you'd rather be kissing? Is that the problem? Abby asked.
What? No. I knew my mistake the second I'd spoken it. I'd been too quick and adamant in my response. I should have just rolled my eyes or waved it off. After all, there wasn't someone I'd rather be kissing. But I just made it seem like that wasn't the case.
Spill, Abby said. There's nothing to tell. I live, eat, and breathe my script, and zombies. Who would I kiss?
For an actress, you aren't a very good liar,
Cooper said.
I take offense to that statement.
You want to be a good liar? Abby asked.
Absolutely. But I wasn't lying, so that means I wasn't acting. So your statement was false anyway.
I waved my hand.
Enough about me. Tell me everything about you.
Everything? Abby said.
That would take forever.
At least tell her about the float at homecoming.
Abby laughed, and Cooper followed suit.
It's a long story, she said after a minute.
I like long stories, I said.
Abby jumped on the float and lip-synced.
You what? I said, surprised.
That was a very condensed version of the real story, but basically, the girl who was supposed to lip-sync vomited in the Enfield and...
That's a condensed version, too,
Cooper interrupted with a laugh.
True, but it was an important detail. They went back and forth sharing other details that made zero sense, details that I wished I could have seen.
Been part of. It sounded like my kind of night. Abby finally turned back to me and said, So I had no other choice but to jump on the float.
No other choice, I said,
and I could hear the hollowness in my voice. Cooper and Abby met eyes and laughed again. I repacked the clothes I had taken out back into their boxes and pushed them into my closet. Then I got down on all fours and looked under my bed. It was too dark under there to see much, but no glowing pair of eyes shone back at me. I pointed my phone flashlight all around. Nothing.
Mom!
She came to my open doorway.
Yes? Are you sure you actually still own a cat? Maybe it escaped.
I'm sure. She looked around.
Wait, are you leaving?
I sat back on my heels.
Yes. I want to be back before it gets dark. I have an early call tomorrow.
Plus, I hoped getting home early would make up for the fact that I hadn't responded to my dad's texts.
Technically, I didn't think they'd required a response. The first one had read,
Long-distance trips are something we should discuss before they happen in the future.
The second had read,
I talked to your teacher. She said your last packet wasn't your best work.
Statements did not require answers. I climbed to my feet, picked up my bag, and gave my mom a hug. You should come with me, see the set, meet Grant and Amanda and my director. It would be fun.
She nodded slowly.
It would be fun, but...
Her eyes looked around my room as if searching for the invisible cat.
You can't. I finished for her. I'll find the time. Just not this week. Okay. Soon, though.
Soon.
I hugged her, then found my siblings in the kitchen. They sat at bar stools eating frosting on graham crackers. I squished them each into a hug and assaulted their cheeks with multiple kisses. Try not to have too much of a life without me. I made it all the way to the door before I realized I'd forgotten my charger on my nightstand. I turned to tell my mom as much, but she hadn't followed me to the door like she always used to do when I left the house. I backtracked to where she had joined my siblings at a bar stool of her own and was spreading pink frosting onto a cracker.
"Tonight, we should have a movie night in your room," Sydney said to Mom.
"Absolutely," Mom responded.
"Can I pick the movie?" Colby asked.
"We'll do the hat trick," Mom said. And they both laughed. The hat trick? I had no idea what that was. I swallowed a lump that wanted to form in my throat and quickly retrieved my charger before leaving. I walked through the door after my 4-hour drive, not feeling at all how I'd hoped I would after my visit home. I hadn't anticipated feeling like such an outsider in my own house. Like life worked perfectly fine, if not better, without me. Dad stood at the counter, and we locked eyes. I was too emotionally drained for a fight tonight. "Next time I'll tell you before I go to Mom's," I said, defeated. He pulled a plate out of the fridge that was covered in plastic wrap.
"You hungry?"
I nodded, and he removed the plastic and put it in the microwave. I plopped onto a bar stool at the counter. "Thanks."
"I'm not trying to hover, Lacey. I want what's best for you."
"Have you ever thought that maybe this is what's best for me?"
The microwave beeped, and he placed the plate of pasta in front of me. I took a few bites. He sighed.
"I'm worried about you."
"Why? I'm fine."
"I'm worried something is going to happen that will shatter your spirit. Call it a gut instinct, Dora."
"Overprotective father?"
"Sure, you can call it that. I just want to make sure you have a life to go back to if this experience ends badly for you."
"This experience? Meaning starring in a movie?"
"Yes."
"What's the worst that can happen, Dad? Bad reviews?" I asked, thinking about Donovan and his viral smackdown on Grant.
"I don't know."
"Even if the worst happened, I wouldn't give this up. I'd try again. I'm tough."
"I know you are."
"This is what I'm supposed to be doing." Now I just had to prove that was true. Maybe when this was all over, when my dad saw the results, he'd finally realize I could do this. He shook his head, indicating that I was searching in the wrong place for the support I needed. It was never going to come from him. Dancing Graves. Exterior. Forest beyond the mansion. Night. Scarlet leads a group of zombies to a cave near the mountains, where she is hoping to gather them all and barricade them to keep them and the humans safe while her father works on a cure. She feels like she belongs with the zombies, but still understands that she shouldn't feel that way. She has moments where she is more aware than others, and this is one of those moments. Benjamin follows her and waits until he can speak with her alone. Benjamin.
"Scarlet, is it safe?"
Scarlet. "Never fully safe with me." Benjamin.
"I know you would never hurt me. Why have you led them here?"
Scarlet.
"Buying time until my father can work a miracle."
Benjamin.
"This might not be a good idea to have them all together like this in the same place. If the wrong hunter finds out, it could be disastrous."
Scarlet.
"Then don't tell anyone."
15. Those 2 days off were not good for me. I felt more out of character now than ever, having been only myself for the last 2 days. The morning started off bad,
and didn't get any better. Each scene required more takes than usual. Grant and I were not in sync. Remy got grumpier and grumpier as the day wore on, especially when my advocate said I'd hit my hours limit for the day. I left the set probably as frustrated as Remy. I was tough, I told myself. I needed to forget about the real world, my real life for a while, and put on my character off camera. I went out to the parking lot, fully costumed, to retrieve my Dancing Graves book from the trunk of the car. Grant's fans were there, lining the barricades, as always, holding their homemade signs. I thought about going up and saying hi, showing them that I was nice, and hoping they'd post something good about me. But in response to my publicist email, my agent had said, "Just keep your head down and work. If we need a publicist, we'll worry about that after filming, during movie promotion, when it will matter." I wondered if that was her nice way of saying I couldn't afford one for a long period of time, so I needed to time it right. I focused on my car, trying to keep a neutral expression on my zombified face as I walked. I popped my trunk and retrieved the book. I took a deep breath and tried to channel Scarlett. Maybe I needed to start calling Grant Benjamin on and off set. I flipped to page one as I walked back to my trailer. It had been a while since I read the book. Unlike the script, it fully immersed me in the character and world that surrounded her, with detailed descriptions and backstories. I opened the door to my trailer, put the book face down on the table, and went into the bathroom. The curtain was drawn around the small shower, which wasn't how I'd left it. I reached toward it, ready to throw it open, when it was ripped to the side from within, followed by a loud scream. I picked up my hairbrush from the counter and swung it with a scream of my own, before I registered that the person standing in my shower was Amanda.
"Were you going to kill me with a hairbrush?" she said through her laughter.
"You are evil, pure evil," I said. She bowed, then stepped out of my shower. "The devil herself is what you are. You almost made me pee my pants." She blew me a kiss and skipped out of my bathroom. "How did you even get over here before me? I just saw you on set," I said as she laid herself on my couch.
"I'm a fast runner."
This is why Grant has security guards outside his trailer. Apparently mine was Grand Central Station. Anyone and everyone was allowed in. Despite my still racing heart, I found myself smiling.
"Grant has security guards outside his trailer because he's a big star."
She said the word "big" in a sarcastic voice, like it wasn't true.
"Uh-oh. What happened?" "Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's the problem."
"You just gotta let yourself fall for me," I said in a deep-voiced impersonation of him.
"Are you sure you still want something to happen?" "He gave you the speech too?"
"Yes." She nodded slowly.
"He's just doing what he always does, what works for him. Once he realizes that he likes me, he won't flirt with everyone else." "If you say so." "Have you thought of a brilliant plan yet?"
I hadn't, but that didn't mean I couldn't.
"Too bad it's not you who's kissing him on camera next week. I watched your videos. That would totally sway him."
I straightened up. "That's it."
"What's it?" she asked.
"You're going to kiss him under the pretense of giving me some pointers." She sat up.
"That's a brilliant idea."
"I know."
"You'll suggest this practice session at some point? If I do, it will be obvious."
"Yes, I will."
"You're the best."
She put her feet up on my coffee table.
"How are things going with your boy?"
"He's not my boy."
There was a knock at the door. Speaking of Grand Central, come in. Donovan walked into the trailer, and my heart stuttered. Why did it do that? I scowled at the reaction.
I see you're so happy to see me, he said.
She's so happy to see you, Amanda said. We were just talking about you, and I was just leaving.
She turned toward me and wiggled her eyebrows. I shook my head with a laugh, and she left.
I just came to bring you a fresh new homework packet, Donovan said when the door was shut.
Scarlett doesn't do homework.
Lacey doesn't either.
Funny.
Who is Scarlett?
He obviously didn't remember my character's name. I held up the book in my hand.
Oh, right.
He put my new packet on my table and turned to go.
So you'll just text me a pic when you get some done, then?
He was leaving. You're not going to do the math with me? He wrinkled his brow in confusion.
I thought...
He needs to leave, Lacey. You need to work on being Scarlet. He is a distraction. Will you do it in character with me? I asked, ignoring my better judgment.
I have no idea what that means.
You tutor me while in character. I do my assignments as Scarlet. It's called method acting.
And who am I supposed to be?
His name is Benjamin. He's a zombie hunter.
Is that who Grant James plays?
I smirked.
Is that a problem?
I am probably equally as good an actor as Grant James.
So you have done some acting, I said.
No, I'll be horrible.
Ouch, Mr. Reviewer. Pretty sure you're already on Grant's bad side. You don't need to be walking around the studio bad-talking him. He looked repentant.
I'm sorry. That was in poor taste.
I smiled. I was teasing you. I looked over my shoulder to make sure my trailer door was closed. Sort of.
So you want me to sit here and pretend to kill you for the next hour?
No, he's not trying to kill me, remember? He's in love with me. Just basically say whatever you're going to say, but in a British accent. I'll figure out the rest.
You really do always try to get out of schoolwork.
He sat down on the couch. I grabbed my packet and my book from the table and sat down next to him. This is the opposite of that. This is a creative way of doing schoolwork. How is your British accent?
Horrible. Very, very horrible.
Hold on. Before you start, let me... I reached over and messed up his perfectly styled hair. He was cute. Big brown eyes. Nice lips. Defined jaw. There. Better. Oh, wait. Can I just... I pointed to his shirt.
What?
Just the top button. Isn't this choking you? I unbuttoned the top one, then assessed the new look. Just those two changes made him look more relaxed. Which was more him, I was learning. As much of a taskmaster as he was, he actually did have a pretty mellow personality. One that radiated calm.
This is what you choose to wear on a Wednesday?
I came straight from work.
I cleared my throat.
Isn't this work?
I am also a waiter.
Really?
I leaned over and smelled him.
You don't even smell like food.
You are so weird.
Where do you work?
It's this little family-owned restaurant by my house called Bella's.
So, wait... You're a waiter and a tutor, and you write reviews? When do you find the time to do your own homework?
I'm not really a tutor.
I squinted my eyes.
What do you call what we're doing, then?
Well, I mean, I tutor you, but you're the only one.
Oh. I was even more confused now. That's why Taylor in the front office at your school had no idea what I was talking about when I said you tutored.
Probably.
Then how did you...
Your dad seemed really desperate.
I nodded. He often does. Knowing my dad, he'd probably had the school give him the names of the three students who had the highest GPAs, and he personally called them. Donovan patted the packet in my hand.
Are we going to do this, or what?
Yes. Method acting. Let's hear it. We are now in 18th century England. He gave me the world's biggest sigh.
Here is you, always getting what you want.
You're right. I do always get what I want. My father owns this mansion, this town, and you in it, I said as Scarlet. He gestured for me to hand him the packet, and I did. He began reading the first page of instructions in what I assumed was his attempt at a British accent.
Don't look at me like that. This was your idea.
I laughed. He was being a good sport. Please, carry on.
Are you going to stay in your makeup again today?
He asked. I'd forgotten I had it on. Makeup? What makeup?
Okay, you weren't kidding,
he said.
I guess we're doing this.
While I'm reading these word problems, you read this chapter. I handed him Dancing Graves and turned to a Benjamin Heavy chapter.
Why?
It'll help you.
You mean it will help you?
In this room, that is the same thing. He took the book from me and handed me my homework. He was a focused reader. He concentrated on each page, his eyebrows drawn together. The tip of his right thumb clamped lightly between his teeth, fully immersed. I skimmed the first word problem and then skimmed it again. Easy enough. But of course, doing this immediately took me out of character. How would Scarlet have completed this? I'll be right back, I whispered. I wasn't sure if he heard me, because he didn't look up. I left my trailer and walked with purpose to the mansion. It wasn't a real mansion, obviously. They had shot some B-roll film of a real mansion somewhere in a forested countryside. But here in the studio, each of the three rooms they'd built only had three walls. In the room that represented the library, I remembered seeing a quill and inkpot. I wasn't sure if it actually worked. So many things were fake. But so many things weren't. Amanda had to write something at some point, so I hoped this was one of those set pieces that actually functioned. I rifled through the items on the desktop. When I didn't see it, I opened a side drawer. I started to shut it again when something caught my eye. My flesh-colored knee pads. I pulled them out, confused. How did these end up here? Maybe I'd left them on set one day, and they got shoved in the drawer when things were getting packed away.
What are you doing?
A voice from behind me asked. I whirled around, tense, then immediately relaxed. Oh, it's just you. Grant stood there between two stacks of coiled extension cords, holding an apple. I tucked the knee pads under my arm and said in a British accent, I'm off to a writing apparatus. He was the one who told me to be Scarlet. I was going to be Scarlet.
Oh, are you now?
He said, easily slipping into a perfect British accent. Much better than Donovan's. I smiled at him. My father has sent a tutor to help me in my studies. He hopped up into the mansion library with me.
You and your tutors. A woman shouldn't take on more than she can handle, he said.
It's what Benjamin would have said, and he knew that. But alas, I do what I'm told.
I have a sneaking suspicion that assertion couldn't be further from the truth.
He plucked the quill and ink I hadn't seen off the corner of the desk and handed them to me, then took another bite of his apple, his blue eyes sparkling with humor. Thank you, kind sir.
My pleasure.
He took my hand in his and kissed my knuckles. I started to walk toward the exit, our hands still linked. He didn't move, and eventually our hands pulled apart. We maintained eye contact while I took several more steps. Then I turned, flipped my greasy hair, and walked away. This method acting could actually work. That was more chemistry than I'd had with him since auditioning. I smiled as I walked down the hall, my knee pad still tucked under my arm, quill and ink in my hand. I came to the corner and was about to turn it when I heard voices. One I recognized immediately as Remy's. The other I couldn't place because it was a bit muffled, but it was low and intense. I didn't want to interrupt them, so I stopped a moment, trying to figure out if I should turn back or wait it out. That's when I heard, "She's too new and not very good. Nobody knows who she is, and those who do don't even like her. You should read the posts on social media about her." I couldn't even tell if it was a guy or a girl because the voice was spoken in a loud whisper.
"It would cost the studio a lot of money if we replaced her now."
"It might cost them a lot of money if you don't." I backed up slowly, careful not to scuff my feet on the floor. When I got far enough away, I turned and took another exit, for the long way around to my trailer. I got inside and leaned against the door, out of breath. 16. Donovan hadn't moved from his position on the couch. He was reading my book. But when I continued to stand there, he looked up.
"What's wrong?"
I put the ink and quill on the table and tossed my knee pads into the corner. "I heard someone talking in the hall to my director about how they think I suck. I kind of do right now."
"Someone said that? Who?"
"I have no idea. What if my director listens to them? What if they're someone who has a lot of influence?" Donovan stood and walked over to where I was standing by the window of my trailer. He took my hand and led me to the couch.
"Sit down."
I did.
"How do you take this off?"
He pointed to my face.
"Is there a special method?"
I nodded toward the vanity. "There's some Q-tips and a bottle of solution, and there are some makeup wipes up there." He gathered the things I'd mentioned and brought them back to the couch. Then he handed them to me and sat down. I turned toward him, pulled my legs up onto the couch and crossed them. I dipped a Q-tip in the solution and held it out for him. "You use this when it doesn't come off easily." He hesitated as he stared at me, and I realized he hadn't meant that he was going to take it off. He'd brought it over for me to do. My mind was a mess. I started to say as much when he took the Q-tip from me and asked,
Does it hurt?"
"No, it's fine." He reached for a section and gently tugged. After freeing that piece, I held out an upturned hand, and he dropped the latex onto my palm. Then he turned more fully to face me, matching my cross-legged position. He leaned in, his eyes as intent on my face now as they'd been on that book moments before, while he carefully removed more sections. My heartbeat picked up. I shifted, hugging my knees to my chest.
"I'm surprised you don't have a makeup remover person,"
he said. "I know. What kind of second-rate joint is this?" Our position made it so I couldn't look anywhere but at him. He was close, his brown eyes studying each section he removed as if this was the most important thing he'd done all day. His hair that I had messed up earlier flopped forward. I pushed it back for him, out of his eyes.
"Thanks,"
he said. Then he brushed a finger over a bare section on my cheek.
"Why are you always missing this big part? Have you not fully transformed yet?"
It's the only section that's pre-made. And Leah, my makeup person, takes it off before I leave the set for the day. She doesn't trust me with it. He nodded like this made perfect sense.